Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done so far, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask that you work through this service, Lord. Lord, work through our minister that's about to bring forth your word, Father. We just ask that you speak through our brother, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you edify our hearts, Lord. We love you, we thank you. Lord, Lord, ask that you bless these offerings and the tithes, Lord. We commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, for we know that you have to deal with the minds. It's important.
Lord.
You have to to get to the things of our humanity. You became that human as well, Father, because you needed to go through those things for us to prove that we can do it, Father. Lord, I pray that you would just touch everyone that is here this morning, the efforts that have been made, the travels, Father, the sacrifices, the church, the local body, God, all of the things that they have done, Father, to just make us feel welcome and at home. Father, we ask that you would bless the pastor and his wife, Father, and every laborer, Father, that has put their shoulder to the wheel.
Yes,
God, we ask that you give them rest and peace, Lord. And may, when we leave these services, Father, may they feel a boost of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
When they come back to the church and it's just the few again, Father, I know what it's like, Lord. May they know that they're not alone, that we're here fighting this fight together. Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless all the pastors that are here, the ministers, Father, and those across the world,
Lord,
that you would just give every congregation strength to draw closer to you. And once again, Father, we are here now. This is your time, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask that you would move and deal in the way you would want to with us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In that precious name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to be back this morning. Amen. And to see your happy morning faces. I mean that good. Better stop now. But it's good to see each and every one of you this morning. And I do want to say that it's been a privilege to be here. And thanks to Brother Tony and everyone that has put this together. The fellowship, the food last night, and what's going to happen this afternoon and tonight, and all of the things. Appreciate all of your hard work. Would you just give the church a hand clap? We do know what it's like when you have meetings and sometimes you want something to come together and it quite doesn't, or sometimes you don't know who's going to show up. And then before, well, we planned for 120 came, and then we planned for 100 came. It's like, what do you do? Lord knows. But as long as we're here for the Word,
amen.
We want God to move in our hearts.
Amen.
How many can say this morning that you want something more from Him?
Yes.
He has something for each and every one of us this morning. Amen. I believe it would be all for the music. I don't think I can ever sing right now. We're going to ask you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. This is a subject that this year has been very near and dear to my heart. Once again, I can say that my church has probably heard this numerous times. Went through a series back at home entitled Satan's Final Push. And I don't know how long it was, but it's just been, it seems like everywhere I go, I can't seem to get away from it. And this morning is kind of no different. So if you've heard some of these things before, just keep moving forward. I believe, I trust that there's something in here that will encourage each and every one of us. Our thought this morning is entitled To Weaken. That is what we recognize. His goal is to try to weaken you. He tries to weaken the churches. He's trying to weaken the nations, as the scripture reads here. But he's trying to weaken us. And we know that as believers, amen, that if we stay tapped into the presence of God, that we have a strength that the world cannot see.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. There's a lot of eyes there, isn't there?
Right.
God bless you when you see it. I do want to say that I believe in miracles.
Amen. Yes.
I noticed that a few of my church people have moved from the back row. God still moves. Well, at least I know y'all are all still here this morning. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
So as we recognize this hour, and I believe that we recognize this as we are in this bride's revival.
Yeah.
And I believe what this revival is doing for us in this day is not to prepare us again for another age or But we are looking to get out of this place.
Right.
I believe that that's our goal, is to get out of here. And we recognize with the revealing of the Word of God and everything has been open to us as believers, that it is not to be known to the world. We need to remember that this revival is not a show for the world to see.
Come on. Right.
It is not something that... in fact, they're not going to be changed by signs. They're not going to be changed by signs and wonders. Their evidence will not change them. If evidence changes people, well, then why did it not change the Philistines? Or why did it not change... you could go down the line of throughout the whole scripture where the pillar of fire, I mean, the Egyptians, when they seen the pillar of fire in the cloud, why did they not turn around when they seen such a great anointing,
such a
great power? So we recognize that changing doesn't come from from the evidences of these things. So with what we can see, and I'm not going to get into that, I'm going to try to pace myself this morning if we can, so maybe just do some preaching if we can. Do y'all get that, preaching?
Yes.
I'm going to try not to yell. I'm going to try to talk. We must recognize that Satan is doing all he can to overthrow any believer. Now, it's easy for us to bury our head in the sand and say, well, you know, I am elected of God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And try to not understand that he's going to do everything he can to try to overthrow you. And Satan in the garden, what did he do? He combated the word by changing it.
Yeah,
Eve had to do, Brother Branham said this, all Eve had to do was just stay with that word.
Sure.
She didn't have to do anything else. There was no fancy thing. There was nothing else. All she had to do was trust in the word of God. Instead, she was led by emotion.
Sure.
Eve was led by emotion. Now that word emotion, and I don't want you to just sit here tonight or this morning and say, well, he's speaking on the emotions in the church. That's not what I'm dealing with, because I would really want you to look at what the word emotion means. The word emotion is a natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's, now catch these three things, circumstances, mood, or relationships with others. So this word emotion, just in case you're not listening, I want to go again. It's a natural, instinctive state of mind deriving from one's circumstances, moods, or relationships with others. This is why we often find ourselves answering by emotion rather than the Word of God.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we recognize by this that sin entered by an emotional response. Sin entered by an emotional response, and this then became the door for each generational curse. Circumstance became the plumb line and has become the plumb line as faith has become the fallback.
All right.
What do you mean by this, Brother Jeremy? I mean that we find that many times we as people, as human beings, begin to base our church relationships or our church membership or the obedience to the Word of God, we begin to base it on our circumstances rather than faith in God.
Yeah.
Faith then becomes something that is only faith for healing, or a faith to get something, or faith to ask God that, well, I would like a better position, or I'd like more money, or I'd like this. And circumstance now becomes the plumb line to the human being, as where as long as everything is okay, then I'll be in church. As long as everything is okay, then I'll worship God. But I don't know, maybe you're here this morning and you didn't feel like lifting up your hands. Now, if you go by circumstance, or maybe you just didn't feel good, or maybe you're just so worn down with things of life, and you have a choice as a human being, well, whether I'm going to lift my hands and worship God, or whether I'm going to have faith in God that it doesn't matter what is going on, He is still my deliverer, He is still my healer, He is still everything to me. Or we can let circumstance now become the plumb line. You see it to where, because if we start finding, becoming parts of a movement, or becoming parts of something that fits our lifestyle, what we find where now the things of God or the ordinances or what God has called us to do now just becomes on the back burner. It's important if we can do it, but if we can't do it, it's no longer important, and God knows my heart.
Okay.
How many's ever heard that? God understands. God knows my heart. Listen, that is one of the biggest cop-outs of a human being. God knows my heart. He knows your heart, and He also knows His Word. His Word is number one. There is no grandchildren here. You're either
either a son or a daughter of God or you're not.
Yeah.
So we find in the very beginning that by emotion, by an emotional response, sin then entered in. Now, this makes no sense unless you understand serpent seed. And I believe that you are well taught in serpent seed in here, so we're not going to get into this. But think of this. Your relationship with others. How important is your relationship with others? There had to have been a relationship that was built between the serpent and Eve. I do not believe that this was an overnight decision by Eve. I believe that there had to be a relationship built between to where she then begins to start taking his word over her husband's word. Brother Branham says, so Eve got to strolling in the garden and she run into the serpent, a very polished up sort of fella. And he began, now he was on the other side. Now God lives and dwells and works in humility, right? You say amen.
Amen.
There's never any other way. He says, now the little humble lady walking along there, and Satan come up as a wise, slick, polished sort of fella, and he wanted to sell her the program. Now notice what he says. No matter how much Satan was around, that's striking to me, Brother Wendell. No matter how much he was around, as long as she stayed behind the word, she was all right.
Amen.
Brother Branham pats his Bible. See, so let Satan do whatever he wants to do. You just stay with the word. It doesn't make a bit of difference, right? Well, he says, why you're sick. You say, by his stripes, I'm healed. Well, you're going to die. Well, he'll raise me up again. He promised it. See, just stay behind the word. That's all.
Right.
What did Christ do? Christ retreated to the word. Himself, it's written, see, now stay behind the word. But Eve, she began to kind of let down.
Okay.
She allowed the relationship, to begin to take over the word. But she never let it all down. She only let one little phrase down, and that's what Satan wanted her to do.
Right.
He's all right with you being here this morning.
All right, man.
But but as long as you don't go all the way. You see, he got her from behind God's prominence by reasoning. You see, don't never try to reason God's word. Just believe it, see? So she stepped out from there, and before Adam ever got to her for a wife, she was already defiled by Satan. So we find that he worked with her enough to weaken her.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Relationships that you have in your life matter. Relationships with your family, relationships with your friends, your job relationships, whatever it is. Satan will use relationships within the church to try to weaken you. Come on.
Man.
You see, it got to a point where Adam was no longer enough. She needed, I kind of enjoying the things that I'm hearing from this serpent. You know, he's a really good fella. He knows the Bible. Come on. I'm just throwing this out in our head. He knows these things. He knows the message. Listen, he's quoting it. And to where it got to such a point that a relationship was built that when the word was changed, she didn't catch it.
Right.
You say, well, what do you mean she didn't catch it? Well, if she truly would have caught it as bride would catch it, she wouldn't have accepted it. You see, that's why we must be careful that we do not build, that we do not put so much stock in relationships that we lose sight of the word of God. When we work so hard to build friendships and build a community together so much that when it comes down to the word of God, we begin to look past it and say, well, maybe they didn't mean that, or maybe this, and then we start falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. And Satan's job in this hour is to try to weaken the churches.
That's right.
Try to weaken you and get you caught up in relationships, get you caught up in circumstances, to where circumstances begin to wear you down and weaken you. And then because you become so weakened by these things, you then take his word over the word of God. He was a great angel and found himself wanting more. And this is the great battle of today, the battle that was brought to Eve. And that battle is raging now. And the scripture tells us, part of this battle is to weaken the nations, to weaken you young
yes,
people.
We're
constantly
amen.
Throw things and throw things and throw things, and you parents throwing things at your parents and questions about what to do, what should I do for my children, or what should I do, and then it wars on the pastors, what should I do here, and then to try to get to the pastor, he'll get to the wife and throw things at the wife and cause this, or to get to the wife, he gets to the husband. You see what I'm trying to say? He's doing whatever he can to weaken the body.
Right.
Luke 11:17 says, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth." Now, I don't know the person, but the commentary by Spencer, he says, if two ships at sea, being of one and of the same squadron, shall be scattered by storm from each other, how shall they come to the relief of each other?
Okay.
If again, okay, so now we're talking about completely separation. Well, then he comes together. He says, now if again they clash together and fall foul, how shall the one endanger the other and herself too? You see, it was of old the Dutch device of two earthen pots swimming upon the water with this motto, if we knock together, we sink together. And most true it is that if temper or discontent set us too far from one another, or wrath or anger brings us too near, it cannot be that but that by design, or whatsoever be, like Jonah's gourd, that shall perish in a moment, especially if the viperous and hateful worm of dissension do but smite it. So you're either going to find yourself separated from the flock, or you're going to find yourself going against each other. If he can weaken the body, if he can weaken church against church, go a friend against friend, and brother against brother, and sister against sister, and a nation against nation, if he can weaken a body, if he can weaken you, he has a better chance at defeating you. Well, if I can get them isolated, you see, isolation leads to negligence, inactivity, and dulls your spirit. Spiritual weakness, and then leaves us open to deception. If I can just get them isolated, it's a dangerous place where we're left alone with only the words of defeat. Remember, we're talking about those words that are thrown at us. I like the song I sang last night with the voice of truth. What does it do? It tells you a different story. But you've got to be with that voice, right? But it becomes a dangerous place when we're left alone with only the words of defeat from a merciless opponent and vain mental images of how things will never be good again. I don't know if you've ever been in that position before, but I have. A merciless opponent that has told me that I'm better off. Come on. I'm better off. My family's better off. My church is better off. Come on. My wife is better off. My kids are better off. I could go on and on, mercilessly coming at me and saying, you're worthless. Your family would be better without you. Come on. Your church would be better without you. You're really nothing to this message. Mercilessly. Trying to isolate me and isolate you and pull you away. Oh, you've been in the middle of a church service like this and felt all alone. You don't have to be in a big group of people to be actually with somebody. You can be right here, right now, in this church service this morning, lifting your hands and clapping your hands and feel all alone. Satan knows that there is power in unity. He recognizes there is power in unity. So you see, there's two sides of the story. Because he knows that there is power in unity, that is why he has cultivated the denominations. Because, you know, and I understand that there's power, and so then I'm going to give them unity. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful, because when we're seeking for unity, Satan has unity to offer you. I'm going to give them unity. I'm going to give them a denomination. There's even a spirit of denomination and non-denomination. He knows that there's power, but what he wants to do is he wants to pull you and he wants to pluck you and he wants to get you separated in the midst of a church to where you're in the church service and you feel like you're all alone because you don't have the same lights that everyone likes, and Satan has you told in your mind that everyone someone's different than you, and they see your faults, and they know your mistakes, and you're really nothing, and then you begin to look at your own self and say, I really, you know what, he's absolutely right. I can never seem to get over these things. I just can't seem to do the right thing. Every time I try to do the right thing, the next thing you know, I'm falling again, and I want to do what the Bible says to do, but then when I try to do what the Bible says to do, I'm hit with something else, and it pulls my attention off of again. Where is their hope? What is it going? Then the pastor's on me, and the evangelists are on me, and the deacon's on me, and the music's on me, and I don't like this thing, and I don't like this, and before you know it, we're isolated in a crowd of people.
That's right.
With the merciless opponent attacking and speaking. But you know, you see, if I can cut you off, if I can just get you isolated, if I can cut you off from your supply, if I can get you away from your fellow soldiers, I have a better chance of getting you down.
Okay.
If I can, come on, I'll speak to us ministers. I know what it's like. You know what it's like to feel alone.
Right.
Come on, you might have a group of people. Brother Wendell, you understand as a pastor. Brother Tony, any pastors here, you understand what it's like sometimes to, you might be surrounded by all kinds of people and shaking your hand and saying that they enjoyed it and all of these things, but still feel alone.
Right.
They don't know the battles that are going on. They don't know the struggles that you're having to deal with and all of these things. And then you as sheep, you're sitting here in the church service this morning and you're hearing the specials and it's touching you and you're encouraged. But yet, somehow you've been isolated from these things. You're a soldier of the cross. But found yourself by yourself alone, maybe in isolation somewhere because you've listened to the wrong voice.
Yes, right? Amen.
You see, we find that this is well-versed in warfare, something that I spoke on quite often this year, and you've heard these things, but I just want to say them again, that we call this the siege, a siege in warfare. We the siege of Leningrad, the Soviet Union versus the Nazi army in 41 through 44. It says, when Germany launched its invasion of the Soviet Union in 1941, one of its primary targets was the industrial center at the former imperial capital of Leningrad, which is today St. Petersburg. German forces with Finnish allies reached Leningrad within 3 months, encircling the city and cutting it off from the outside world. For 872 days, the defenders of the city held out in any way they could. A trickle of supplies did not reach Leningrad until January of 1943, and the city itself would not be relieved until January of 1944. The systematic, listen, I want you to catch the systematic, because Satan is not just some, I hope you understand what I'm saying here, he's not just some little pansy thing out there, but he is systematically trying to attack every church, trying to come and get into your mind. It's a systematic thing that we've got to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to catch, and not allow ourselves to become isolated from attack. But the systematic destruction of the siege was the costliest siege ever in terms of both human lives and destruction. An estimated 1 million civilians and another 1 million Red Army troops were killed, captured, or missing by the end. Think about it. If we can just surround them, if I can surround you with sickness, if I can surround you with problems, if I can get you to believe that there's nothing but hypocrites in a church, that there's no true preacher, there's no true pastor, everybody has mistakes in this one, then before you know it, we become tape only. Why? Because we don't have confidence in God anymore. I'm sorry. I want you to understand that I know it's not about just the one man or this one or that one, but God has called us to not isolate ourselves from the very living Word of God. Listen, I believe in listening to tapes, and I press play. We do it in our own church. I do it in my home every time that I can. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, we cannot isolate ourselves from the Word of God, what the Word has told us. It's systematically happening. And then we see what rose up in the last few years of this the great disease, and now they feel like they're accepted. They've done the right thing.
True.
Okay.
That's right.
Gotta move forward on that.
Come on.
Think about the siege of Vicksburg. Union versus Confederate armies, 1863. The Union victory at Vicksburg is often overshadowed by the Union victory at Gettysburg. which happened just the day before. Separately, the battles were both critical to winning the war. Together, they marked a turning point from which the South never recovered. Since the beginning of the Civil War, the Union had hoped to cut the Confederacy in two. And capturing Vicksburg was the key.
Okay.
For 40 days, the Union Army of the Tennessee laid siege to the city. When it fell on July 4th, 1863, it gave control of the Mississippi River to the Union and set the stage for the collapse of the Confederacy.
Wow.
Okay.
All by cutting it off.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, I want you to understand, we've got two different sides here in the church. Well, you know, I believe there's a story of a church somewhere in the United States. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's called the Left Foot Baptist Church.
No.
Or the right foot. I don't remember what it is, the right foot or the left foot. Whatever it is, you get the point. The question was why did you become the Left Foot Baptist Church?
Yeah.
Well, because there was a fight in the church that caused a split. One wanted to wash the right foot and one wanted to wash the left foot, so they split it over which foot to wash during communion, and now they became the Left Foot Baptist Church. Doesn't that sound foolish? But actually,
right.
It's systematically
right.
What is happening in message churches.
Right. Right.
Today we get so hung up on our opinions and information,
right.
And we don't recognize that the Anaconda plan that was actually trying to be done in the Civil War is actually happening in the church.
Right.
He's trying to come around churches and get us cut off from one another.
That's
because
right.
Of our
yes.
Little differences that don't matter to a hill of beans.
Yes.
That's right.
I say come back to the Word of
yes.
God and put that in the corner.
Yes.
Help
yes.
Us, Lord. Help us. Now listen, I want you to understand, I believe in standing on the Word of God. And I'm
yes.
Not saying that we should be pansies and all of that kind of stuff. But some of the things we're standing for in this day is just foolishness.
Yes. Right.
It's causing families to come against one another. I say, let's come together in the unity of the faith.
Yes.
That's all right. No,
go ahead.
I know
brother.
Satan doesn't like it, but that's okay. I just hope you're not part of him this morning.
Amen.
Well, let me give you a little bit of scripture about it. We read in 2 Kings, and I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, because again, I've already lost track of it. In 2 Kings 6, 24 through 33, we read of Ben-Hadad's siege of Samaria.
Okay.
How many remembers that?
Sure, sir.
I didn't mean you were that old. All right, y'all are still here. What does it do? That siege took place and it became so strong, Brother Tony. It tells us of such great weakness where now mothers would then boil their children to eat them. So if a city loses its strength, it begins to fall. In your right mind this morning, you would not sit here and say, well, I just can't wait to go home and boil my child. But the siege was so strong and so great, they had lost their power, they had lost their food. Brothers and sisters, they lost their mind to where their children no longer mattered to them over their lives.
Oh my.
Right.
Come on, can you not see this around us today?
Oh my.
Yeah.
And finally, when this happens and you find yourself isolated, hopelessness enters in. The enemy then perceives the evidence of instability in our faith. Then and only then, he begins to imitate the comforter with suggestions for what will make you feel better.
Yeah.
I've got them isolated. They're in the church, but they're alone. They need some comfort. Now it's time to start throwing them. Temptations. So you see why emotional response is so important to understand? It is that I'm going to give them something that looks the part.
Yep.
There's a lot of imitations out
right.
there.
That's right.
Right.
Remember, Brother Branham says, the Bible said in the last days there shall come false Christs, not false Jesuses. They wouldn't stand for that.
That's
but
right.
False Christ, false anointed ones, they're absolutely, listen, anointed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and
right.
Still false.
That's right. Amen.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
How many can just say, God help us?
Yes.
What are you saying
Amen.
That for? Because I want to stay right with the Word of God.
Yes.
I don't want to get caught up in my thinking or my opinions. I don't want to get caught up in what's going on around me.
Yes.
I want to stay focused upon His Word.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because there's anointed ones in this day that are anointed with the Holy Spirit and they're still false.
Right.
This is an energy.
Right.
An energy that pushes a movement.
Come on, buddy.
Second Thessalonians 2:10 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth,
Amen.
That they might be saved." Notice this verse, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion."
Amen.
"That they should believe a lie." That word Greek, that Greek word there is an energy of deceit.
Okay.
Meaning strong deceit. So, Brother Colby, this is there's an energy in this.
Sure.
Oh, stay with me this morning.
Good.
There's an energy behind this delusion, because now we have a group of people that have been so worn down by disease, so worn down by COVID, so worn down by information, and they become isolated in groups of people, and now Satan says, "I'm going to give them an energy that makes them feel like they're getting something."
That's right.
And it becomes enticing, and it's drawing, and it's entertaining.
Uh-huh.
It's enticing spirits that Brother Branham spoke about.
Yeah.
He said so many people are listening to enticing spirits, and instead of taking the Word of God, he says the spirits, they're in the world, they're demons, and they go out into places, and they get amongst men, ministers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't you out there just think that we're all pointing to you. We've got to watch ourselves. They get amongst church members. You aren't left out either.
Right.
They get amongst good people.
Right.
And they cause them to come into an illusion. And they say things and do things and teach things and practice things that's contrary to the Word of God.
Amen.
It's an energy.
Yes, sir.
And as long as we can get that snowball effect going, we get more and more people to go, then we start overtaking everybody else. We become the happening church. We become the happening denomination. But what we need to do is come back to an unadulterated Word of God.
Amen.
And push off all the illusions, push off all the enticing spirits. For without this, we can have true zeal.
Right. Amen.
Yes.
I want you to catch this. Without this, we can have true zeal.
Sure.
Right.
Without the true Word of God, we can have zeal this morning. You can be zealous.
Yeah.
Right.
And revelation of a need. Recognize that we need something. Recognize we need power. Recognize we need this. But be an heir.
Yeah.
Right.
And cause death in the church.
All right.
See, David was a true example of this, was he not? Right?
Right.
You say, let's look at this for a moment. David was called of God, right?
Yes.
He was anointed king. Are you with me this morning?
Yes.
Doesn't the Bible say he's a man after God's own heart?
Yeah.
Type of Christ? Come on. Warrior for God, giant slayer, anointed musician? Come on, how many can say David was a man of God?
Yes.
And many other things. Well, why are you saying this? He was of God, but we find his zeal got ahead of the Word.
Right.
Was he not incorrect? Was he not correct in desiring the ark back? Who doesn't want the Word back in your church? Shouldn't every church desire the Word of God active? Shouldn't every church desire a move of God and all the gifts and all the fruits of the Spirit? Absolutely, we should desire those things. And so he became zealous for this, and because he had lost it, and what we find, we're now he starts going to the people, and he starts going to those, and he creates this excitement. We're getting the Word back. We're getting the Word back. And there's a shout in the camp, and all this excitement is happening. And with all of this excitement and all of this movement and all of these things that are going on, is happening.
That's right.
Amen.
Notice, it says, remember, but him being king, Brother Brown said this, and got the revelation. He got the revelation. He overstepped his place. See, there was a prophet in the land by the name of Nathan.
Right.
And he was the one that was ordained to get that revelation. There's anything he spoke. He said, the Lord doeth nothing until he reveals it to his servants, the prophet. But right. You see, David being king with the anointing upon him. Now, is that scripture? Anointing was on him. He got a true revelation.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it was wrong.
Yeah.
Good boy.
I mean, seriously. Uh-huh. True revelation. But yet it was wrong. What made it wrong? Because in his zeal, he forgot. He forgot to stay with the Word of God.
Right.
In the excitement, in the emotions. Listen, who wouldn't be excited to get the ark back in its rightful place?
Come on.
Listen, we need the Word of God in our churches. Yeah. Absolutely the truth. But it's got to be handled properly.
Right.
It's got to be handled with the Word of God, as the Word of God has told us. You see, now here's this movement, and he got this revelation. Let's get the Word back. And it's the truth. We need the Word back. So there was this change sweeping through the land. This was exciting times, Brother Wendell. This was exciting times. It's time to bring the Word back. And we have the guy to do it. This is the happening place, man. And the Philistines couldn't even handle it. They got rid of it quickly. They didn't know how to handle the Word.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it can only be handled by one group.
That's right. Okay.
See, this is why we must be careful that we do not follow after enthusiasm. We need to make sure that we have followed the details first. And we got to be careful that our opinion is not the details.
Amen.
It can't be my opinion on how it's handled. It's got to be the very Word of God.
Amen.
Listen, I am not saying we cannot be enthused about it. I'm saying we need to follow the details first, get the ark in its rightful place, and then be enthused about it. These are somber times. These are sobering times. The Bible tells us in these days to be sober, to be vigilant.
That's right.
Because Satan is doing whatever he can to isolate us. And get us caught up in an enthusiasm that we're the bride and we're this and we're that. And we're losing sight of the sacredness of the Word of God. Let's get back to the sacredness of this Word. Stay with it. Hallelujah. Enthusiasm follows it, just as signs and wonders follow and do not lead the believer.
All right. Man.
But you see, notice what David did. One of his errors, Brother Branham says, notice who David consulted in chapter 13. He consulted the captains of thousands and of hundreds back to his congregation. See, don't you think we should do? And he said, but that isn't it. He was trying to do God a service, but he wasn't ordained to do it. Because God had a way.
That's right.
Well, Brother Jimmy, I have the following. I have the church backing me. I have groups. I've got my friends. I've got my buddies. I've got all these things. Listen, I don't care what you've got.
Amen.
You've got to have the Word of God first and foremost in your life. No matter how smart we are, how much anointing we have, King David was anointed, and he still caused death.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
I hope you're getting it, church.
Yes,
all of us for ourselves, we got to take this. Even in his anointing, even in the calling, even in true revelation, even in inspiration, we can find ourselves in error.
Right.
Right.
So we must always stay true to God's provided way, even if it's not popular. Even if we lose friends or family. So what, you lose friends or family? You have a friend that's sticking closer than a brother.
Man.
Right.
Who is the one that called you in the first place?
Yes. Come on.
Come on, no minister called you.
No.
Right. Right.
No prophet called you.
That's right.
He called you.
Amen. Right.
He called you. The Word called you.
Yeah.
He called you by name before you were given a name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh my. You were in the thoughts of God. He knew what you were going to do. He knew you were going to spit upon his face. He knew you were going to put the crown of thorns upon his brow. He knew you would put the nails in his hands. But still, he called you his beloved. Church. I'm not just talking about a natural death. I'm speaking of the most serious death, and that's the death that is spiritual.
Amen.
Help me to stay true to the word of God. Oh, let's join David's camp. This is the happening place. This is where the word is coming back. And the people rejoice. Thousands rejoice. And they should, because the word was coming back. But in our rejoicing, let's not lose sight, as the Pentecostals did. They got so excited and so caught up in their emotion and in their movement that they got their unity.
Yep, come on.
Man.
They accepted their unity.
Right.
But it was Satan's unity.
Man.
What had happened? Israel had gotten weak because the ark had been gone. They were isolated from the word. Come on, brothers and sisters.
Go ahead.
I might not be much of a person, but this has been on my heart for the last 2 years. And my heart said, Lord, help me. Yes. Help my church. And I believe this is every pastor's heart.
Yes.
Help us to stay in line with the word of God.
Yes,
right.
Lord.
See, Israel had gotten weak. And what happened? They then got caught in the crossfire of zeal and the word. Well, I've got all of these and I've got all of that. Listen, there's going to be a group of people, the Bible tells us, that said, we've cast out devils.
Right.
We've prophesied, we've spoken to all of these
That's
things.
True.
And he tells them, depart from me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, sure.
Oh, and then we have the other group that hears what I just said and said, oh, now he's against speaking in tongues. Absolutely not. I want to say, by the grace of God, I'm thankful that I have.
Amen.
Come on, I'm thankful that I have
had
a baptism on top of a baptism.
Praise
Come on, that's
Lord.
What I believe it with all of my heart. I love the shouting. I love the running the aisles. I've been a part of. We've had some mighty moves in our church.
Amen.
And listen, in those mighty moves, when God came in, Brother Wendell, and the power of God would move and miracles would happen, there's people that were a part of that and seen the signs and wonders and have cursed God this day. Why is that? Oh, and now we've just got to love one and accept everyone's sin and just let them back. And let's not let that creep in the churches.
Amen.
Teach the word.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not here. I know I believe Brother Tony's this way, Brother Wendell, I believe Brother Timothy, any pastor, if I'm forgetting anybody, I believe we're this way. We're not here to make you any part of the church or to do anything just because we want you to be a friend or want your money. You better stay with the word of God.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. If it gets down to one person or two people, I don't want to weaken my church because of one person.
Right.
Petting him on the back. Brother Branham talked about that.
That's right.
Sorry, this is not much of a...
Preach, brother. Go ahead.
I don't know what this is anymore. Brother Wendell, will you come and finish it, please?
Good job. Good.
And can you preach tonight?
Glory
I tried to
wrestle
you in so you can sing tonight, Chris. I promise to preach short. Better get back in this before I lie. One thing I've learned, Brother Wendell, is that everybody's interpretation of short is different.
Yeah.
Or long. I don't want to get caught in the crossfire of zeal in the word. Yes, we have to be zealous for this word.
Yes, we do.
We need to be excited and we need to
yes,
be thankful for the word of God, but it has to be handled properly.
Amen. Right.
This brings the importance of election. Election cannot be deceived.
That's right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, she may get out of line a little bit.
That's true.
But aren't you glad we heard a voice cry out?
Amen.
Amen.
Get back in front.
That's right, amen.
For me. But when Jeremy would get out of line, Brother Daniel, when I would get out of line, then I would hear that voice crying out, get back in line.
Amen.
Get back in line.
Amen.
I'm not just talking about hearing and hear something inside. Yes, I'm thankful that I heard it with my own ears.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful that there was something inside of my heart that was saying, you're a little off here, Brother Jeremy. Don't worry about what your friends are doing.
Yes.
Don't worry about what they're saying. Don't get caught up in all of those things. You stay steady in the word of God.
Amen.
But don't be too careful where you isolate yourself. God never intended for churches to isolate themselves.
That's right.
Not what I'm saying. When I'm saying be cautious, I'm not saying pull away from everybody.
Right.
I'm saying let's stay together in unity together, but let's not get caught up
in
everything else.
Amen.
In line. So we take this to our spiritual life. And what is he doing? It's a constant reminder. Trial after trial, hit after hit, trying to weaken the church. He will come into a strong church right in the middle and shake an assembly. And Brother Branham said, God allowed it. All right.
Wow.
Says it was only a few years later when the trials come and the church got all shook up, as is so easy for a congregation of people to do.
Right.
When something just don't seem to happen the way that it's supposed to be. God makes it that way. God brings tensions into the church. Every son that cometh to God must be tried and proven and tested. He lets sickness strike you. Well, I thought I was a believer. If I was a believer, I wouldn't get hit. Well, that's not true. By his stripes you're healed.
Amen.
But he's going to let sickness strike you. He lets diseases come on you to test you and to prove you, to show the world that you're truly the seed of Abraham. He permits it by his own will. He permits disasters.
Amen.
He permits the friends to turn against you.
Man.
He permits all these things and turns the devil loose to tempt you.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh my.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he'll do it all but take your life.
Yes.
He could throw you on a bed of affliction. He could turn your neighbors against you. He could turn the church against you.
Yeah. Come on,
he could do most anything, and God. And it's God's will for him to do it. We are taught by the word that it's more precious than gold.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You see, so I'm sorry if you thought that serving God would mean that all your finances would be fixed up like that.
No.
I'm sorry that if you thought that serving God means that all of your diseases would be gone just like that. I'm sorry. But that's not what it was intended to do.
That's right, amen.
If serving God in this message meant that everything would just fall into place in the natural, and that's actually the faith of God, then what are we talking about, the faith of those that were burnt at the stake? Come on. Who were fed to the lions? Did they have any less of faith in you?
No.
Come on.
If they could go through that and go through those things, then you can take some discontentment. You can take disasters. You can take things because you have a word in your life.
Amen.
Listen, I hope I'm not boring you this morning, but I'm telling you, if you haven't been through some things, you're about to go through some things. And you're going to need a strength more than what you think you have today. You need something that's more than skin deep. You need something from the inside, that little light that you can't see and you don't always know is there. I'd say this morning, you need to make your calling and election sure. Because what's about to hit your life, if you're not careful, will be the make or break of you. And there's nothing your pastor can do about it. There is no pastor that wants to see someone walk away. But we're not going to compromise the word of God for a friendship. We're not going to compromise the word of God for money. We're not going to compromise the word of God. Do what you must do. But there's a bride of Jesus Christ that's going to stand upon the word of God. No matter what happens.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Help me. What is happening is, what is Satan doing? I've ministered this many places, so you've probably heard this, but just as he did at the very end when it was time for Christ to be crucified, Satan then entered into Judas.
Yes.
And that's what we see the same thing happening today, because in what we see in that time, no one knew what Judas was except Jesus.
Right.
In everybody's mind, Judas was a message believer. Come on.
Amen.
Because he had, Brother Branham even said it, he had the same ministry. Come on, he fulfilled the same things.
Right.
And even when Jesus told them what was going to happen and all these things they were going to do, and when he did it, they still didn't believe it. Because you had so much the life of him. And what we see today, Satan is entering into what we would say message believers all across the world. We see world. Pastors are falling, ministries are falling, churches are falling, families are falling, but the bride is still standing. She cannot be turned by these things. Why? Because she's not caught up in emotions. It's not circumstances that's going to change her life. It is not relationships with others that's going to affect her, but it is the word of God that is affecting her. It's the word of God that is most important in her life. That's what church is about. It's not just showing up on Sunday morning and saying, here I am, Pastor.
Come on.
It's about showing up and putting your shoulder to the wheel and saying, God, would you move to this place?
Yes, amen.
Oh, if it's just for one soul,
come
if
on.
Someone walks through that door that you've never
yes,
seen
sir.
Before, let it be worth it all.
Yes, sir.
What about a believer that has
By the blood of Jesus Christ,
we can be set free.
Amen.
I'm not just here for religion.
No, right.
Amen.
I need more than religion.
Yeah. Amen.
I need
Amen.
More than a song.
Amen.
I need life.
Yes, Lord.
And this morning I want to say, let's get spiritually checked.
Bless the Lord.
Because those little diseases come in our spiritual lives and they begin to weaken our immune system. They begin to weaken our body. We've seen this and we talk about this quite often to where it seems like the last couple years, everybody's immune system seemed to be weaker and weaker and weaker. And the spiritual immune system can become weak. We become isolated. We become attacked by something that we can't even see. I say, I want to fill upon, as we used to say this when I was a kid, I want to fill up on the gospels.
Uh-huh.
Every
Amen.
Day, let's just pop those vitamins of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, you, little bride, have been called to stand on this day.
That's right. That's right.
And you don't have to be affected by the energy of deceit.
That's right.
You're not affected by it. Oh, yeah, it catches your attention sometimes. And sometimes you're like, but you test everything by the Word of God. You don't test it by opinions. Listen, we got to even get to the point where we in our human nature, we sometimes tend to lean towards what we were raised and our upbringing was. And that can be an issue, too. We need to just say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it, Lord. If this service, I need to be quiet, let me be quiet. If this service, I need to be loud, let me be loud. If this service, I just need to lift my hands and praise you, let me do it. If this service, I need to shout, let me shout. Whatever it is, Lord, I am open to you. I'm not just coming to you with a one-track mind. The way I think it needs to be, I say, Lord, whatever your will is for me. Sometimes we just fall on our face before the Lord and sometimes we go and I just crawl in a corner and just fall in love with him all over again. See, if we always revert to one thing, we might need to check our relationship. If we always revert to the same type of emotion or the same type of thing, and it has to be this way, and it has to be this way, and it has to be this way, we might need to check our relationship.
Yeah.
But sometimes God wants to move different.
Amen, amen.
Let me just ask this. Be honest, how many loves sometimes when that sweet spirit begins to move through the church?
Yes.
And there's
yes.
a holy hush.
Right.
You see, it doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
I know some of you always want the holy hush. Some of you always want that holy hush.
Wow.
And then sometimes God moves through here, and before you know it, people are shouting, jumping, and then sometimes that's all you want.
Right.
And that's the only time you feel God, and I'm just like, that's not the way it is.
Amen.
I forget one time a brother in my church. Years ago, he would always revert to one reaction, one way. This is always him. And he came up for prayer and he was just saying, I just need something. I just listen. God just spoke to my heart and said, tell him, stop what you're doing. God's wanting to move differently for you. Now, at that moment, he had a choice to make. Well, I revert back to the same thing. And at that time, I don't know, brother, what he's going to do. And all of a sudden, the power of God struck him. And it wasn't one way. It was completely opposite. Then I knew he was yielding himself as he should.
Hallelujah.
You see, if it's always, you see, I want to be a bride that says, Lord, what is it that you have for me today? Because
Amen.
Maybe I've been a little weak. Maybe I've allowed the circumstances of life to pull me away from the Holy Word. And I know I need the Word back, and you husbands and you fathers know you need the Word in your homes. So you need to get the Word back in your homes, but you need to bring it back properly.
Amen.
We need to bring it back with a holy reverence. We need to admit at times when we're wrong to our children, admit when we're wrong to our spouses, and just say, it's time that I've made mistakes, and I want this word to come back in our home. And it starts with me. I like what Brother Branham says. He says, God, I'm coming to a close. God, fill us with deity. Fill us with power and energy. Until our souls are aflame. That our strength will be Him. Our testimony will be God. Our words will be His. Devils will tremble. The world will shake and rock under the impact of it, Lord. If you can only find people who are willing to wait upon the Lord. That's the hard thing for humanity to do. Is to wait. You see, even now at the sound of I'm closing, we at times with our humanity begin to move to the next part. We just comment.
Okay, what are we going to do next? What are we doing next? And we don't have time for God.
Right.
You say, well,
man,
you feel fear sometimes come in. Well, does that mean we've got to stay here for 2 hours? Sometimes it's just simply you turning off your mind.
All right.
Can you do that? Can you bow your heads where you're at right now? Just right where you're at. And just say, God, I give you my mind. And would you wait on him? You see, the bride is not weak. Yes, she goes through times of weakness. And yes, she goes through times where she has to come and sit at his feet. And I believe this is a daily thing for the bride of Jesus Christ. You might have been in this message for 50 years, 60 years, 20, 30. I don't care. Maybe you've only been in it one. It doesn't matter. We're all people that need a closer walk.
Yes, Lord.
Because Satan will come in and try to weaken the church. He will do whatever he can to try to weaken the pastor. That's why it's important to pray for the pastors. Because Satan is doing whatever he can to try to weaken that pastor. And you know what? That pastor is going to make mistakes. And say, well, you are one, Brother Jeremy. Well, maybe I'm telling my church that. But say, no, they know I do. I believe that we have that mutual respect, and I'm thankful for that. But what are we going to do when those things happen? This is where we come together. Not in the unity of a denomination, but in unity of the faith. Lord, bless my brother. Bless my sister. I've seen where Satan has tried to come up and he's tried to weaken the families. He's tried to weaken the moms or the dads, or he's tried to weaken the pastor or the deacons or the trustees or the singers. And we come into church and before you know it, we kind of feel like we're going through the motions. And it's not important anymore. We feel like our walk with God is no longer important. And Satan is slowly whispering these things in our ears, telling us that it's not important, it's not important. But I'm here to remind you, every step you take is important. It's your promise. Every step that you have taken, Father, is a step for your child. Come on. Every step you take, Pastor, is a step for your congregation. Evangelist, minister, song leader, lay member, sheep, whatever you are, every step you take is not only for you, but an encouragement for the person around you.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because we're not in this alone. The
yes,
body
Lord.
God has placed among us,
yes,
fitly joined
Lord
together,
Jesus.
Which means that we need one another. And when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. When I'm suffering, then somebody else suffers. And when you suffer, I'm suffering, and my heart's broken. But I want to say thanks be to God. Listen, for each and every one of you that's here this morning, I want to just say how important, and I'm not speaking for Brother Tony, but this is how I feel as a pastor, how important it is for you to be here and for you to show support in this troublesome times.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
What is this doing?
Lord.
Is this proving that we're not alone and we're not isolated and we're in this together? And that whatever has happened, whatever Satan has tried to do, it doesn't matter. God's got this. God's got this church. God's got my church. God's got my family.
Amen.
I claim my children. How many wants to claim your children?
Oh, yeah.
You say, well, I got children maybe in the world. It don't matter. Claim them.
Yes.
Hold to them.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
I know this might sound a little harsh. You don't have to forgive me, but this is who I am. I was talking with my son one day. I said, Eli, I said, what you know, it's my oldest son. We were talking about this. I said, Eli, I said, you know, I believe that one day you and I are going to walk in together. We will. We're going to walk into glory together. I said, but if you don't, I will not remember you.
Sure.
And I looked at him right in the face. You say, well, that's a hard thing to tell him. I believe that we have to be honest. Why would we think for one moment God would help make us or allow us to remember somebody who's fallen? No, he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. See, that was a hard thing to tell your son. No, I wanted him to realize. And I said, vice versa. I said, if you walk in and I'm not there, you won't remember me. You see, we get so caught up in our relationships and how this all matters right now that we forget the importance of what glory will be like.
Lord Jesus.
We've got to get there first. So all of the relationships that we've worried about all of our life that we think are important has to stop right now. Stop your mind. Throw away those. Please understand what I'm saying when I say throw them away. Get them out of your mind. Don't worry about anything around you right now except you and God. Can you be honest with him this morning? Is there somebody here this morning in your heart? Musicians can come. Is there somebody here in your heart this morning and say, Lord,
just you as a great physician to come now and begin to manage. As the brother sang the song, run to the Father. I believe that everything that he has for you right now. He's here this morning. And I'm not trying to work you up or bring some sort of an emotional response. Listen, I don't care how you react, as long as you touch the Father.
Lord Jesus, God.
Whatever it takes. The great physician is here. And if you're isolated and alone and you feel weak, say, well, Brother Jeremy, these are meetings. What will people think if I come forward? Who cares? What are you worried about what people think? You see, that's emotion. You have to get to a point where you come to God, you come up and you say, I don't care what anyone thinks. I want to come and I want to stand before God and I want to lift my hands and say, Lord, I just need you. I need you more than anything else. I'm not going to allow anything I can't allow these things to rule my mind anymore. I can't keep going back to these things. Whether it be someone here this morning and with a truly honest heart that would just come and stand and lift your hands to him and say, Lord, I just need that touch. Would you please look through the eyes of my heart? I've been feeling a little weak, a little cold. Maybe I've been a little this or a little that. I don't know. Whatever it is, but I just need you, Jesus. Physician. Lord, you see the hearts of those that are here this morning, Lord, and they're truly honest. Lord, I believe, God, that they're here because they want you, and what a privilege it is to come and stand before the King of Kings.
Yes, Lord.
Nothing is like being with you. We don't want the things of the world. I believe those that are standing before me now, Lord, they're longing a closer walk with you. They want everything out of the way. Lord, what great. Lord, I lift my hands, Lord, this morning, and I say, God, come and cleanse everything out of my life. Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, Lord Jesus, you're the only one that can heal me. You're the only one that can do it, Lord. Would you move in a mighty way, I pray, and especially this morning. Lord Jesus, touch the hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. You're standing here this morning. I'm going to come down and I'm just going to pray with you. I'd like to ask any of the ministry brethren that would like to come. And let's just put our shoulder to the wheel together with these that have come forward. Would you? Let's just let them know that the great physician is here, that we care for them. Would you come and begin to pray with them? Just sing this together.
Thank you. still want you to know that I got a friend too.
Hallelujah.
Yes. He tells me when I'm wrong.
Right.
Helps me get back in line. That's the friend I need.
Yeah.
And all of the things of this world, think about everything that's going on right now. Your mind cannot even fathom.
Amen.
Everything that's happening right now in this
Amen.
World.
Amen.
Yet he cares enough right now for you.
Hallelujah.
Right in the midst. Yes. Touch your mind and to touch your heart. Can you, he said, I know we don't go by feelings, but can you feel that he's here this morning? I said, oh, yeah. Lord, let him feel your presence.
Yes.
Let him know that you're here. Lord, let him not leave this place empty or brokenhearted anymore. Let him not leave this place with questions. If this is, Lord, let him leave with such a desire for you. I want him to know, Father, how much a friend you are. That's my heart's desire. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who made about the stars and tells the sun where to shine. Oh, he kisses the flowers each morning with dew.
Hallelujah.
Nobody can speak like our Lord.
Yes, amen, amen.
He's the only one I know that can speak one message that will speak to every heart.
Right.
It's easy to praise him after a service. Let me feel like he's touched your heart.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, that's what these meetings are for.
That's right.
A whole different environment, maybe than what you have in your normal church service, but when you get a bunch of believers together and faith runs high, God can speak in ways that maybe you might not even know.
That's right, amen.
We're so thankful for our brother.
Amen.
And I can tell you, he's had the mind of the Lord.
Right.
So far. I really appreciate everything that you shared with us. I won't say anything else. There's not much for me to say after all that. That's just so wonderful.
Yes,
We'd like to say that we want to invite each one of you to come and have fellowship with us at the same place we were at last night. If you're here this morning, don't know where it's at, just ask someone and they'll show you how to be there and to get there. So let's just bow our hearts and we'll dismiss in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed today.
Thank you, Jesus.
This last night's service was so wonderful and then even greater this morning. Yes. We just thank you, Lord, because you're willing to come into this little place here and just speak to the hearts of your children, Lord. Yes. You are so faithful, Lord. You don't let us drift without coming and speaking to us. Lord, you came all the way down to this last stage of Laodicea.
Thank you, Lord.
Spoke to us in this hour, brought a message to give us hope.
Yes,
we want to
Lord.
Just give thanks to you, Lord, not just with our voice, but with our lives. Lord, to thank you for all that you've done. We ask, God, that you be with our fellowship this afternoon. And Lord, those that can come back, we just pray, Lord, that they be able to. And those that can't,
yes,
we just ask for your traveling grace with them as they go home. And Lord, that you just be with us in this service this afternoon.
Yes,
we also ask,
Lord.
God, that as we fellowship, that you would bless the food that we'll be taking of, and bless the hands that are prepared. And as always, we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.